The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of TriSceptor Productions or the Superhuman Channel. TriSceptor Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Good show put together today. Important topics. Today, we've got no fluff going on today. First hour, we're going to be talking with Dr. Peter Rouse. We're going to be discussing genetic science, epigenetics, part two. And the second hour, we will be talking with Dr. Bryant Stanford about erectile dysfunction, both the physiological and psychological side of this condition. Before we get started, I just have two announcements to make. First of all, Iron Mag Labs is having a transformation challenge where they're giving away $6,000 in cash and prizes. You don't have to look like a bodybuilder at the end. You don't have to be ripped to shreds at the end in order to win. You just have to have the greatest degree of transformation over that period of time, kind of like the Biggest Loser concept. Go to Iron Mag Labs today and learn more about their body transformation challenge. And secondly, opresource.net is offering us, all of my listeners, a 25% additional discount. We will be doing the show on IGF-1 and MGF next week with Professor Philip Filimonov. He's cleared time to come on and discuss these two potent peptides. You can get IGF-1 and MGF at opresource.net and use the coupon code SUPERHUMAN, S-U-P-E-R-H-U-M-A-N 25, to take advantage of that 25% discount. Okay, my guest today, you know him, you love him. He's Dr. Peter Rouse. How you doing, Peter? Oh.
How's it going?
Oh, there you go. Okay. Very good. And we
I don't
have,
know if you can hear me much. Can you?
Yeah, I can hear you real good now. You're coming in perfectly.
Okay. I'm just losing the audio on my end a little bit.
Are you really? Well, what we could do is, if you want, we could take a quick break, and I could just play some music, and we could reconnect if you want.
That might be an idea. See if that works, because it's pretty bad.
Okay. All right, so let's do this. Let's just go into a little musical interlude here. And when we come back, we'll begin the show. Sorry for the technical difficulty, but this is live radio, folks. All right, we'll be right back. Okay, that was fast. That's the live radio aspect. It is a little sexier than taped radio, but then again,
well,
we do
that
have...
didn't work actually. Seems to be off again, but I think I can hear you and make this happen anyway.
Well, let's see something here. Tell me if you can you hear me better now? Does that sound any better to you?
Yeah, I think it's something. My microphone seems to be muting you out or something whenever it picks up a noise. I don't know what it is, but
yeah, you might have a Vox microphone, and voice operated microphones. That's exactly what they do. When they hear any background noise, they will mute off the other end.
And in the process, I just knocked over my coffee, so that was an interesting morning start to the morning already.
Oh yes, that's as long as it doesn't hit any electronic equipment. That's the important thing.
No, but I needed that one this morning. But
I wish I had a cup of coffee. I was going to say, and then you knocked yours over. So unfortunate. All right. Well, look, let's do this. Let's go ahead and get started on this first segment, and then we take our break. You can maybe re up your coffee, and we can even try to address the microphone issue. How's that sound?
Well, I've got Alicia here taking care of my. I might turn down the gain a little bit and see if that helps a little bit.
Okay.
So before
we get started with the epigenetics issue, yeah. There's two things we have to talk about. Okay. Mm-hmm. First of all, you took issue with the show that I did that spoke about stretching, because you are a huge proponent of stretching. So So why don't we address the concerns you have about some of maybe missed messages that people could be getting out there about stretching before working out?
Yeah, one of the things I think I hear a lot of, it's been around in the industry probably for up to 10 years now, that static stretching is bad to do before training. And it kind of is a very wrong message, because this is what we actually propose most of the time, is most of our clients coming through will do a lot of static stretching before they start training. A lot of the research is very flawed. What you do is, when you look at the research, look at how they actually perform the research. Don't just read the abstract. Read how they perform the actual study. One study done with sprinters, for example, was done by the sprinters basically doing a dynamic warm-up, two groups, dynamic warm-up each, and then one group was split off and did static stretching and then did sprints. The other group just did the normal dynamic warm-up and then sprinted. Where in the world do we do a dynamic warm-up and then static stretch? We do a static stretch and then dynamic warm-up in that order. So,
they're basically in the wrong order to come up with a study. Yeah, they were in the wrong order, in other words.
Yeah, and they do this to come up with the conclusion they want to look for.
Well,
this is the whole problem with studies.
It's funny you should say that, because I'm actually waiting to hear back from a fellow who has written extensively on this exact issue. You know, the whole idea of empirical evidence coming from studies is now starting to be questioned because of the inability to reproduce some of the results from early studies. And there's a large consensus out there now that is saying that perhaps we shouldn't trust studies so unabashedly, that we have to really, because there's a phenomenon in research that whatever you are looking for will occur, sort of a type of a thing, you know?
Yep. So, you know, if all you got a nail, then everything looks like, you know, everything, sorry, if all you got is a hammer, then everything looks like a nail, and that comes down to research. You know, you're looking for what you have or what your conclusions are already, and that's the problem. As I said before on the show, some of the best studies I see are studies that kind of have gone back on what they thought originally, and you know that that's probably a little bit more valid than the study that, you know, start out with and gender to find a certain result. So that's the problem with a lot of static stretching studies, is that they were done incorrectly. And other studies were done with doing stretching, static stretching between sets. Now, the static stretching between sets is something we don't do.
Right.
We do it prior to the workout. The whole point of static stretching is to shut down the muscle. And to shut down the muscle is because of these muscles are highly facilitated. So if the muscle's facilitated and you go into training, then you're going to find the other muscles, the antagonist muscles, are going to be inhibited because of reciprocal inhibition. So you're going to mess up the whole mechanics and stability of the joint. You need to do static stretching, shut down that muscle temporarily, realign the joint alignment, reactivate everything back into the right sequence, and then train. You don't want to go in there with any kind of facilitation in any muscles. The static stretching shouldn't be just a shotgun effect. It should be targeted. It should be specific to muscles that are facilitated.
Okay. All right, the other thing that we have to address here is we've gotten some emails. Elisa got one just recently, I believe from, I want to say, Gordon Connor, I believe, was asking about the store area of AF Performance Center's website. So we want to talk about that real quick, just so people know what's going on.
I assume he's meaning the Evo. It should direct over to Evo Performance, is that correct?
I believe it does. You're right. When you click the store, it goes over to Gordon Woodward. I'm sorry. It goes over the link wherever it's going. It says that link is not available. That's the problem.
Yeah, we've had updates on our website, on the Evo Performance website, and it hasn't been quite finished yet. I think the girl who was doing it had some problems, so she kind of got delayed on that, and that will be all updated probably hopefully within a week or so. So we're actually hoping to expand the store quite a bit too.
Okay, so people, if you're frustrated, you're trying to get through and order something, perhaps what should they do? Call maybe instead?
Just call or email us, and that we'll get it done.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so we only have a few minutes here before we have to go into the break. Let's start the discussion a little bit. This show, we're going to talk about genetic science, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
And actually goes back also with what we're talking about with the studies, and this is going to show some of the, you know, studies is very unreliable because they don't take into account the epigenetic factor and the underlying genetics.
Well, I would say that most genetic research doesn't take into effect the environment's role on triggering genetic responses.
And well, funny you say that, because a lot of the the textbooks used in college won't even mention epigenetics. Some of them actually will not allow these books to be put into the institutes because of the fact that it goes against the grain.
Well, it's contrary. It's counterintuitive to the whole. The reason that geneticists are working on genetics is so that they can find hard and fast rules that they can apply across the board to the masses. You know, the allopathic industry was hopeful that genetics would finally be something that they could anchor into that they would be able to say unequivocally, well, this is what's going to happen to you because we can see your genetic map now. And we know that that doesn't work. From the earliest research done in the Human Genome Project, there was one group of women that were tested, and you may know about this, we may have talked about this off the air or even on the air, who were diagnosed with having the gene type for breast cancer. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the women were so shocked when they found out, because the physicians that enrolled them into this said, well, you're absolutely going to get breast cancer. You're absolutely, I mean, you have the genetic markers for it. And a large faction of those women elected to have radical mastectomies done at young ages. I'm talking about like in their 30s, late 20s and early 30s, they went ahead and had their breast lopped off because some doctor said to them, oh, well, you've got the genetic markers for breast cancer. You're absolutely going to get it. Then another large group of those same women who were told that they had the genetic markers for breast cancer decided not to be so panicky about it. And they said, well, we're just going to be vigilant. Well, every year I'll get tested. I'll stay very close. And guess what? All of those women that didn't get their breasts lopped off, I think less than 1% of them ended up actually developing breast cancer.
Yeah, that's correct. And actually, the sad fact is, I know someone who actually had that done just recently because of the genetic factor in the family. And this was someone indirectly I knew, so I couldn't really say anything in regards to that. But the fact is that, you know, these things shouldn't be going on these days, and it's just because of pharmaceutical industry's influence in all this that they want to basically, you know, cover the field, and epigenetics won't allow that happen because
right.
Epigenetics is more about nutraceuticals and nutrition, environmental aspects rather than drug intervention.
Right, right. You know what? We have to take a quick commercial break, but that's an important note to end on right there. Once again, the medical orthodoxy and the pharmaceutical agenda are trying to find the lowest common denominator where they can say to a blanket number of people, you have this, you need us. And guess what, folks? It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. All right, let's take our quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be discussing more on genetic science with Dr. Peter Rouse. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. Finally, a bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit rlssupplements.com. Today. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour, Dr. Peter Rouse. We're going to talk about genetic science now. Really a foundation of information. This could be considered a lecture. Okay, Peter, where do you want to start?
I guess maybe we could look at some of the history of genetics too. I mean, that may be a starting point we could look at. It was first kind of really brought up into any kind of published material was about 1866. So it's actually going back way back late in the 18th century. And that was actually done by Gregor Mendel. Gregor Mendel is actually known as the father of genetics. So I don't know if you heard of his name before.
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, he passed on over 100 years ago. Anyway, so that was when it was first published. He was done research on, I believe it was split peas he was doing research on, and first discovered the interrelationship between the crossbreeding. So he was looking at that. Then around about the beginning of the century, about 1900s, I think it was actually 1905, the actual term genetics was first given. And that was given by William Bateman. And William Bateman was a researcher at the time, and they were talking about, you know, the underlying factor that causes this exchange of characteristics between the different breeds. So when you kind of cross breeding and so forth, you can get those characteristic changes. You cross a red rose with a white rose, you get a pink rose, and that was what they were looking at that time.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, that whole began at the beginning of the last century. So we're talking over 100 years ago that all this research started off. But I guess it wasn't until about the 50s that they actually found the double helical structure of the DNA. So they actually started to discover what DNA was and discovered that DNA was a portion of the chromosome underlying and that held all the genes. So it was only as much as 60 years ago. So this is all pretty new stuff coming through. I mean, even right now, you know, we had the genome project that was completed in 2000, 2001, that discovered that even what they thought was being, you know, they actually allowed an extra 10 years for that. So actually they finished 10 years early. And the fact of why they finished 10 years early was they only found 25,000 plus genes in your human genome. So the fact that we have, you know, only 25,000 tells us that, you know, there's a factor above that, laying above that, that determines the expression of these genes. Yeah. It's multifaceted. Rather than being a single gene causing a single problem or a single aspect, it's more than that. It's a lot more complex than that.
Do you think it's even important to know what your genetic predisposition is now that we understand the influence of the environment and lifestyle and everything else that goes that actually has perhaps – I like what Elisa you know, Elisa says, your genes are the bullet, and your lifestyle and environment are the finger on the trigger. And so the bullet doesn't necessarily get fired unless the trigger pulls. And
I think you could go as much as saying it's the gun as well as the finger on the trigger. It's such a huge impact.
Yeah, the environment, obviously. So do you think it even matters anymore that we pay attention to our genetic predisposition at all?
Absolutely, because what we've got to look at, and this is where the exciting new research is coming out on, is that we can determine the underlying genetic factor, we can determine genetic risks, but we don't take it in the direction the pharmaceutical industry wants to take it. We take it into the direction of epigenetics, where we say, okay, if we create this epigenetic expression, we're going to switch these genes on that could cause this problem. Let's say, for example, MS.
Well, no, let's use something. I have an example I want you to talk about, okay, if you can talk about it. Mm-hmm. Let's say there's a family of women who are predisposed to rheumatoid arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much so, even within within single-family birth groups, one sister gets it and the other sister doesn't. Is it safe to say that is exclusively a result of the choices and lifestyle of the one who doesn't get it, number one, and what choices and lifestyles do we have to pay attention to?
That's really deep question there. That's a really good question, actually. And it's one that, been researched very deeply into cancer. Yes, it is an environmental one. Let's say, for example, first off, arthritis, we're talking about rheumatoid arthritis as an autoimmune system response.
Right.
So usually it's going to come underlying. If they have an underlying potential for that, then the environmental impact will cause that. In saying that, I think the probably biggest factor there is environmental toxins altering the underlying genome. And we have genotoxins which are very damaging to the genome itself.
Like just off the top of your head, what type of genotoxins are there?
Well, there's a big one at the moment that we're actually very worried about, and that's called radiation.
That's right. And we're actually doing a show with Professor Dr. Andro about radiation and concerns of radiation next week, quite apropos. So,
well, I can tell you right now, in California here, it's higher than what they're reporting, because I have a meter, and it's reporting higher figures than what they were reporting.
Are you okay? Not to segue too far, but are you taking any type of potassium iodide supplement or anything like that?
Well, the potassium iodine protects you only from the radioactive iodine that's
right.
present. So that's only a small factor. I have taken some just to be saturated, make sure the thyroid is saturated, but more importantly, maximizing my glutathione production and other detoxification pathways protect me in that way.
Okay. So, yes, but, okay, so that's a genotoxin, absolutely, one that people need to worry about because we could be exposed to a lot more radiation than we think we are with the dumping that's going on in Japan right now.
And actually, to even segue along further, most of your pharmaceutical drugs are.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is cytotoxicity.
Something that I want you to know.
Is cytotoxicity the same as genotoxicity?
No.
Okay.
It's a different level.
Okay. So pharmaceutical drugs are genetically toxic as well.
They have the ability. Most of them, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So lifestyle obviously plays a large role in that particular instance where we have two sisters, for instance, and one is developing rheumatoid arthritis and the other one isn't. Obviously, the one that isn't is doing something different with her life and her diet that is not triggering this genetic predisposition, correct?
Yeah, and the most common cause that we see is grains, which we've talked about many times.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? That, I mean, it's something that simple. Why do you think that people are so resistant to that message, Peter?
One, I think because of the addiction related to grains. People are very addicted to it. Remember, it can stimulate the opium receptors in the brain. So in some individuals, this comes down to a genetic factor as well. Some individuals more genetically exposed to being addicted to these grains. When you're addicted to something, that's the last thing you want to give up.
Right.
What I tell people is that if you can't stop eating any food, whether I could stop eating meat tomorrow if I had to.
Right.
If you can't stop eating a certain food tomorrow or today, right now, then you're addicted to that food.
So you better actually, if you can't stop, you better stop. Then, in other words, that means.
Well, almost, yeah, exactly. I mean, you need to address why you can't stop eating that particular food.
Yeah, how is it stimulating, and what is it stimulating in your body to create an addictive quality? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes there is a psychological factor there too associated with that. So, you know, it could be psychological, but I think a huge part is neurological, in the sense of neurotransmitters and the effect there.
So grains, in essence, are genetically toxin, genetic toxins, correct?
Pretty much, yeah. They're pretty deadly.
And the government, the American government, promotes a diet that is steeped very, very deep in cereals and grains.
Yeah, I mean, hugely. I don't know whether it's on purpose or without any kind of underlying knowledge, but definitely there is an agenda there to push grains, and it's the largest export, for example, in the United States is the grain product. So
isn't it interesting that what we export to these countries of malnutritive, poor, hopeless people is grain? You know, it's almost like maybe, and I know I'm going to sound like a conspiracy theorist now, but maybe there's a purposeful thinning of the herd going on, you know?
Well, that's the whole point of the vaccination process too, you know. And the thing is that, okay, humans can live on grains temporarily. It will keep you going from 1 week to the next, but eventually it's going to kill you slowly. And that can be an advantage to them too, because you think about, you know, a slow death is better than a quick death because the amount of money they're going to make out of it.
Right. Keeping you alive, in other words.
Yeah. And people say, oh, well, you can survive on grains. Sure, you can survive on grains. You can survive on almost anything temporarily. It's better than not eating nothing at all. I mean, it's a matter of between starving and eating zero and eating some grains. You're probably going to be better off eating some grains for a while until you can find a better food source and you know, correct that.
Right.
But, you know, is it optimal for us to live on? No.
Yeah.
Not even close. And that comes down to the fact that, you know, also, it's not only affecting us, you know, we're talking about the genetic damage that's being caused by these grains, but also, I talked about last show that we talked about methylation, DNA methylation. The grains deplete the body of the required nutrients required for methylation.
Really?
Well, you're looking at, you know, folic acid B12, right?
Right. Is that why most bread products are actually usually... fortified with folic acid and some of the B vitamins?
Well, yes and no. They're fortified because the processing destroys what's naturally in there. They contain a little bit naturally, but it doesn't matter because of the anti-nutrient properties of the grain. It doesn't mean you're going to absorb it anyway. It
right.
depletes it and actually pulls what you may have, you're consuming with the meal out as well. So you may be consuming grains with some healthy vegetable base or some organ meats or some other stuff that contains these. And, of course, with B12, you're only looking at animal sources anyway. But if you're eating grains with that, then you're going to be depleting that from that source anyway because of the fact that you're eating it with the grain. So you're actually going to be absorbing what you're taking in because you're taking it with a grain.
Interesting. Okay. We need to take a commercial break. When we come back, where are we going to pick this up, Dr. Rouse?
I guess we'll kind of break down what DNA is and how the structure fits together because this is kind of give us an understanding of how epigenetics works.
Okay, that sounds great. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, M-A-H-L-E.
PBR.com.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, at Primordial Performance comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels, but most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MahLer.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking about the science behind genetics today with Dr. Peter Rouse. Later in the show, we're going to have Dr. Brian Stanford on talking about erectile dysfunction, the psychological and physiological aspects of it. Okay, Peter, take it away.
Well, I guess we started with when we were talking about DNA, we're talking about DNA within the nucleus of the cell. But it's important to note that there actually is mitochondrial DNA. The mitochondrial DNA, of course, is basically the set of instructions for the mitochondria to function. So there's about, I think there's 37 genes within the mitochondria DNA that actually controls the function of that. So that's important to take into consideration of the importance of mitochondria in general health, the longevity and everything else, that the DNA, the 37 genes contained within there, can be dysregulated as well and affect the function of the mitochondria.
And we talk about the mitochondria and we talk about anti-aging medicine a lot of times because Dr. Michael Smith came on the show and said, I can tell you how everybody is going to die without even knowing them. Their mitochondria is going to stop functioning and stop replicating. Obviously, the replication portion of it comes from the DNA side, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. The replication and function, everything is instructed in the DNA. So, that's going one layer deeper, but the health of the mitochondria is very, very vital. And without that, then you will disrupt the whole health of the whole entire organism, which we see in a lot of models that we've done in research and stuff like that. Even damaging the DNA within the mitochondria can damage the DNA structure within the nucleus.
Wow.
So, okay. You know, they do have an effect on one another. So this is really important. Now, the DNA itself, I mean, if you most people got an image of DNA seeing that spiral pattern of DNA.
Right.
What we're looking at there is actually the base pairs there four chemical bases, adenine, I'm doing this off memory, glutamine, cytosine, and thymine. These are your AGCT tags that we always see. If you ever look at DNA structure, you see a tag AGCT, and that's what they represent. These are the bars, or if you imagine a ladder, these are the rudders on the ladder. The sides or the runners of the ladder up the side are actually made of a phosphate and sugar molecule, and they bind that structure together to create that DNA spiral pattern. You're going to ask me?
What's that?
I thought you were going to say something then.
No. I'm listening. I'm actually listening. Okay. No, I'm actually paying attention for once.
Oh, that's amazing. Can you understand me? So that basically develops, creates the whole DNA structure. Now, this is where the DNA structure comes in, is the order and the sequences of these, the tags A, T, C, G. Now, these are put into certain pairs. Okay, A goes with T, S, and G goes with C in all cases.
Right.
But then the sequence of these create from the DNA, they create your genes, and then that creates the underlying genetic factor there that determines your genetic makeup, whether it's your phenotype, which is your characteristics, or predisposition to what we talked about before, the cancer and or arthritic conditions and so forth.
Right, okay.
So these things are created in the underlying factor, and then they're basically they're wrapped around these histones, the histone proteins. So they're bound together very tightly around these histone proteins. And, you know, there's a lot of these, between, 100,000 to 1 billion of these bound together that create your chromosome. Anybody knows what chromosome is, which is these, you know, bigger structures of complete DNA structures.
I gotcha. Okay.
Okay. So
excuse me, the telomere. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get too far ahead, but I have a special interest in the telomere because there seems to be a lot of evidence that the telomere length dictates whether or not your DNA becomes mutant and starts to replicate improperly, correct?
Yeah. What happens is the replicating enzyme uses the telomere to repair damage in the DNA when it resequences the DNA. So if the DNA gets damaged from different impacts, particularly, you know, we know radiation at the moment I've been talking about, but yeah, you know, other environmental impacts can cause damage to DNA. When it uncoils and recoils back together to create a new DNA structure, the telomere can be sometimes used to replace damaged areas of the DNA. So that's where it gets shorter and shorter because it's continuously been using that telomere to repair bases.
So that's how it shortens. In other words, the telomere...
That's one way how it shortens.
Okay. One way. So the telomere acts almost as a repair kit for the DNA.
Exactly.
Interesting. Now, do you believe that the telomerase that is stimulated by things like the Chinese herb astragalus really have any benefit to increasing telomere length or at least keeping them from getting smaller?
I think, yes, in conjunction with everything else is in place. It's not just by itself. You can't take that and expect it to work. Everything else has to be in place.
Yeah. So in other words, you have to remove the assaults.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is assaulting the DNA must be removed first. Yeah. And then these reparative processes can actually perhaps benefit you.
Yeah, it's the same as we approach any aspect of how we're working with someone. Say, for example, I come to the gut issue. We've got to remove all these gut irritants and anything that's damaging the gut first before you can heal it. Same thing comes down to the DNA. You've got to remove any kind of environmental impact on that DNA before you can start repairing it. And we're talking toxicity levels as well. And, I mean, I keep bringing this up, but this is a huge, major factor in what we're seeing in alteration in our genetic pool today is the onslaught of toxins in our environment. I'm testing people, and they're coming back. I've never seen anybody who has not come back at levels far above safe levels.
Really?
In all toxicity, we're talking everything. We do a complete toxicity report, not just only in heavy metals, but also PCBs and everything else underlying that.
That's shocking. So really, the first line of epigenetics, aside from nutrition when we talk about environment, really comes back to the show that we did on dealing with toxicity.
Yep, that's your first step, and this is what we're going to kind of talk a little bit on, I guess, next show, is the process, how you can go through and improve your epigenetics. The first one is detoxification. Get rid of this crap that's in your body so that you can start the repair process and start controlling your own genes rather than letting the chemical environment control your genes.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
So, yeah, the telomere is an important aspect in longevity, as you say, and without that, I mean, you're going to find the DNA basically breaks down eventually, and that's where we get the aging process from. You look at the skin, for example, on the inside of your arm compared to the outside of your arm. If you get in the sun a lot, I'm not saying sun causes skin cancer, but if you look at the skin on the inside of your arm compared to the outside, it's a lot more smooth on the inside, like baby's
right.
Skin almost,
right.
Compared to the outside of your arm. And that's because of the outside of the arm gets more exposed to UV radiation than the inside of your arm. So the aging of these cells close to the surface here are more rapid because of the damage done to the DNA.
Right, right.
Yeah. You know, I don't know about your arm. Maybe you sunbathe with your palms up or something, but most people have that kind of more smoother baby-type skin on the inside of their
forearm. Oh, yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. You can feel, if you just use the upper arm as an illustration, if you feel the outside of your upper arm, where which faces out versus the inside, which faces your body, you'll see that the inside of your arm is much smoother. And
yeah.
And obviously that it plays a large role in it. You know what? We're going to take an early commercial break so we can finish up strong with this last segment. I also want to mention that I believe it's going to be the weekend of June 17th, 17th and 18th. We will have a seminar at AF Performance Center in Santa Monica where we will be doing a seminar, you and I, about epigenetics and anti-aging and the role between the two.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting time, actually.
Yeah, I think that's going to be valuable, and we're going to be bringing to the market some solutions that will help not only for detoxification, which you will be addressing, but also supplements that can obviously increase the benefits of detoxification by lengthening telomeres, increasing mitochondrial function, and so on and so forth. So it's going to be a really good seminar. We'll keep people posted as we get closer to that, okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, let's go ahead and take our last commercial break, and we'll come back and we'll finish strong. We're talking with Dr. Peter Rouse today about genetic science. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Everybody's grooving,
when you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com. Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPen technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. starting at just $149 a pair, Power Blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with Power Blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour, Dr. Peter Rouse. We're talking about the science behind genetics. Okay, Dr. Rouse, where do we go from here?
Well, before we got kind of sidetracked there, we're talking about the chromosome, and yes, that's your base of your DNA structure. There's 23 pairs of the chromosomes. As you know, you get half from your, well, you get 23 from your mother and 23 from your father.
Right.
One of them from each is actually your sex determining, chromosome.
Right.
Yeah, the X and Y chromosome.
Right.
Most people may not be aware is that a female does not get her, you know, a female's XX and a male's XY. The X from the father actually comes from the father's mother and not directly from the father. So when the, your daughter actually has your mother's or the father's mother's actual DNA as far as the sex DNA.
Really?
Concerned. Yeah.
Wow, that is pretty interesting. So my daughters actually have my mother's contribution to their DNA, not mine, as far as the
sex chromosome
determining. How do you like that? That's amazing.
So, yeah, so the rest of 22 pairs determine your genetic makeup in total. So this is really important, because this is where the chromosomes, where the epigenetic factor comes into it. These, the basically DNA helix is wrapped around these histone proteins, and what we have is, as I said before, we have factors that come in and actually unravel these DNA structures around the actual histone proteins that allow that to be read, that DNA sequence to be read. While it's all tight and bound around the histone, it cannot be identified and read. So what happens is you get the methylation of the DNA or acetylation of the DNA that allows the reading or restriction of the DNA. Basically, it's your off and on switch for the DNA sequence. So you understand that. So it's wrapped around this tight ball, this one genetic sequence. It's tight around this tight ball. You either have, if the histone's tail is sequenced by a methylone impact, then it, what happens is it tightens up and ravels around, so it doesn't actually, you can't actually read that genetic code. What happens if it's acetylated, then it unravels and allows that genetic code to be read. This is how we can turn genes
off
and on.
It's almost like taking your credit card out of your wallet and swiping it is the unraveling, you know, so that the card can be read. So you,
yeah.
And so this happens frequently throughout the, what processes would cause the unraveling in order for DNA to be read?
Well, just everyday function. And the
really?
Thing is that you, sorry?
I said, really? So this unraveling and rebounding is happening thousands, hundreds of thousands of times a day?
Billions.
Really?
This is trillions. It's continuously happening to read your DNA, to restructure the DNA, to operate functions in your body. So, This is occurring in your body all the time. And the problem is that, you know, we talked about before with methylation, some of the early studies we talked about last week, for example, with the rats and stuff, or the mice, I should say, was actually a better case because the mice were a better example of the fat mice compared to the normal mice.
Right.
And by altering methylation, they altered that gene that turned off the fat gene, basically.
Wow.
And this is through methylation, and methylation, of course, is important, in controlling these genes. And if you're deficient, for example, this is why I'm so vagrant against the vegan diet, is because one of the reasons is because of B12 deficiency, and B12 is one of the major factors in methylation. It's a methyl donor for the methylation process.
Now, individuals like Ori Hofmeckler and Mike Mahler would say to you, well, I can be vegan and still get adequate amounts of B12 by supplementing.
Yeah, they can supplement it. But there's also other factors in there that aren't taken into consideration. And they may be living a healthy lifestyle. What about their children and grandchildren? That's what we've got to see, because the epigenetic transfer to future generations also is affected. And we see this, as I said before, in a, another study done in I believe it was Switzerland, off the top of my head now, that was done on a population that had to go through a starvation period where they were not getting the food that they wanted or needed, and that affected the grandchildren several generations later.
Yeah, I know. We did. I think we actually talked about that on the first epigenetic show.
So these things have got to be taken into consideration, as we said before, and this is something I heard you repeat again, actually, in a couple of days later, which is very, very good, that we need to kind of get this word out there. You know, you're not only what you eat, you know, you are what you affect your children and your grandchildren. So, you're looking at several generations of effect of what you're doing right now today. And that's why I said we're at risk of basically, you know, wiping out the human race. We're talking about a mass extinction of the human race if we don't address this stuff sooner than later.
Right, right.
And it's been, I mean, there's more organisms that are extinct on this planet than there are actually presently alive. So you think about the extinction process is actually a natural process that all organisms go through. And perhaps the way we're going, we may be ending that process very shortly.
That's startling. And really, a lot of this comes back to the toxicity that we're exposing our bodies to, including our food choices that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, we have chemicals in our environment now that were never even existent. These are man-made chemicals that we developed that were never designed to be in nature to start with. So you can imagine what's that doing to us.
Yeah. It is getting scary now, isn't it?
It's really amazing how the environment does impact our genetic makeup. And the understanding the basic underlying gene is really important, because, you know, that replication of your DNA is being affected every time your body, every time it replicates a cell, it has to break down that DNA, restructure it, and rebuild it again. But if there's any kind of chemical interaction there or environmental interaction, it's going to destruct the replication. You get mutations and so forth that occur. I mean, some of these mutations can be positive things that have occurred over time, like we talked about the giraffe, you know, neck elongating over only a few generations because of the fact of environmental impact.
Right.
But most of these things are not beneficial that we're seeing today because of these unnatural toxins in our environment, now unnatural diet, unnatural foods that we never would have consumed. I mean, it's just amazing to me that people will go out and eat this crap if they had any idea of what they're doing to underlying DNA structure. Plus, also maybe if we had if they had an idea that what they're eating is actually going to be affecting their children and their children's children, then maybe they make a better decision.
I got to be honest with you. I don't think people would. I don't think people make good decisions for their own children that are alive right now. I mean, I know so many parents who feed their children fast food 4 or 5 times a week. And, you know, they'll complain that, well, you know, it's all we have available. You don't understand the lifestyle. Yeah, I remember what it was like. I know so many people who smoke in the presence of their children and don't give any consideration to the effects of secondhand smoke. I have to disagree with you. I think part of the reason that we are where we are today is because we are actually, what's the word I want to say? I want to say karmically myopic.
I was thinking stupid, but okay.
What were you going to say?
Stupid.
Stupid. But I'm trying to be politically correct here. I'm trying to be nice and gentle. Yeah. We are karmically myopic. We really don't see much further than our own needs, our own desires, our own immediate gratification. We just don't. Because if we did, the companies, the largest culprits, the companies that are run by people like you and me, like Monsanto and Syngenta and Bayer and Squibb and Pfizer's and all these companies that are run by human beings like you and me, would not be able to make decisions knowingly that they are hurting other people so that they can bring a paycheck home, and a very large paycheck we're talking about. And this is what it, and so greed would not affect us if people were not karmically myopic. You know, myopia is nearsightedness. We only see what's affecting us, and actually it's gotten in this country, it's become in epidemic proportions. We don't even see what affects us past this month. We are living in a country now where people are living month to month. The majority of the population just doesn't want to lose the roof over their head next month. And so they're fighting and they're doing things that are untoward to other human beings just to survive.
So, do you think that's partly from also the fact that they're being chemically altered by, you know, these chemicals being added to their foods, the chemicals being added to the water?
You know what? You know what? You know what, Peter? I have to respectfully disagree with you. I agree with you that maybe our nutrition is causing us to make some bad judgments, but this has been inherent in man since the beginning of time. You can go back. Elisa read a quote that I think Thomas Jefferson said back in the day, something about if you let the government choose your medicine and food for you, you'll be just as screwed up as the government is. So these have obviously been issues that have been at the forefront, but for some reason, we can't get it right. We just can't get it right. And part of the reason is because of the way government works. Government disenfranchises people until when they want our opinions in the vote, then they disenfranchise us again. We don't keep the mobilization of our opinion. If we had every month, if we were voting on something and people's opinions was counting every month, it would make a difference, but it doesn't.
Yeah, if you look at what Jesse Ventura said yesterday on an interview, that, you know, we shouldn't be voting for either party because all they're doing is lying to us.
Right.
And they're basically coming in here, destroying our health, destroying our planet, destroying our country. And I can safely say it's my country now too because I've got my green card. But the fact that, you know, they are coming in doing this stuff, they lied to us. Look at what Obama, how many things have Obama lied about in his electoral promises. And this is not only just Obama, it's every president that's come into power in the past 30 years has lied and broken those promises. Obama's probably just the most evident because he's gone back on all of them. But, you know, they just lie to get in there, and then once they're in there, it's too late.
And this is why I have been talking about this for over a decade now. This is why truth in advertising laws should be applied to political campaign advertisements. If Dr. Peter Rouse went on the market and said, I've got a pill, and it will make you lose 10 pounds a day, and it didn't work, he would be taken to task by the FDA, the FTC for making false claims in advertising, and the truth in advertising laws are very, very powerful tools to keep individuals straight and honest about the statements that they make in order to get consideration. And by consideration, I mean money. Okay? Our vote is like money. It's consideration. Politicians know that they can say anything they want at the time of a political election and never be held accountable for what they say because there's no way to punish them. And I asked this question once on a national radio show on Rush Limbaugh. I called into Rush Limbaugh probably 8 or 9 years ago, and he said to me it would be too hard because the politicians would simply say, well, I intended to,
but this obstacle and that obstacle and that obstacle. And I said to him, and that is why they shouldn't be able to make claims in the first place. If they know that they can't follow it through all by themselves, they should not be able to. That again comes back to the same thing that I said. If Dr. Rao said, well, the pill would make you lose 10 pounds a day, but the problem is the manufacturer of the pill dropped the ball, and the label claim guy, he was supposed to put 5 pounds instead of 10. No, Dr. Rouse wouldn't be able to blame it on all those other. The buck would stop with him. The FTC would put him in jail. Yeah, politicians need to be held accountable. The truth in advertising laws should be held to political campaigns as well.
I really think we're going to need a revolution to take over what we've seen here. It's just not going to stop with a new government. If we, in 2012, we vote in a new president, vote in a new government, it's not going to change. We need major alteration in the whole development of the government, and we need to downsize government by, 10 times smaller than what it is right now, too.
You know what? And we need to make the show longer by 10% more. We've come to the end of the show. We've covered some ground here with epigenetics and a lot of other stuff as well, obviously. We're gonna follow up with a follow-up show Dr. Rouse is already working on, correct?
Yeah, we're gonna give away a whole lot of information on basically how people can use this information to improve their health, and improve their potentiation as well, because people think they're stuck in one track with their genes, and they're not.
And you have a seminar coming up in New York that's pretty exciting, isn't it?
On the 8th of, May, we're doing a seminar in New York. So we have 10 places only available. This is actually for a special club up there, a drive club, and they're down in Soho in Manhattan there.
Oh, very cool area.
We'll open up to 10 people outside the club. So if anybody's interested, they can contact me. It's $299 for the day. It's 9 to 5, and we're covering aspects from in the morning. We're talking about program design work. Then we're going to get into core development work and then finish off with some stuff on nutrition at the end of the day.
Very cool. Very, very cool stuff. Listen, I want to thank you so much for being on Superhuman Radio today. I know that you are devoid of sleep right now, correct?
You could say that. I haven't slept for a day and a half.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much for being on the show today, Peter. We'll have you back on real soon, okay?
Okay, cool. Thanks,
Cole. Thank you. Hello, boys and girls. Stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. Brian Stanford on the phone. And he's going to be talking to us about erectile dysfunction and the physical and psychological aspects of it. So stay tuned for that. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Before we get started with this next very important interview, I just want to mention that Orbit Nutrition, a sponsor of the show, is offering some blowout pricing and some stacks for two products made by Genomics. One is a nutrient partitioner called Slinsane, obviously the play on the word insulin there. And the other product is the post-workout, intra-workout drink called Protocol. Go to orbitnutrition.com today and check out the Genomics product line there. Okay. My next guest is a syndicated columnist. Always a pleasure to have him on the show. Dr. Bryant Stanford. How you doing, Dr. Stanford?
Hi, Carl. Good, good.
You know, Dr. Stanford, I told you a story briefly about me wanting to do this show for some time now. And actually, what I didn't tell you was this show hit home for me a while back when I myself started to experience some symptoms of ED.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm coming out of the closet and talking about this because this is a subject that men don't talk about often enough. I'm 53 years old. Well, I will be 53 years old this year. And obviously this is something that maybe most men would keep to themselves. They would say, gee, you know, this is embarrassing, so on and so forth. Now you have to understand something. I'm on hormone replacement therapy. So it's not a testosterone issue. Sometimes it's not physiological at all. Sometimes it's psychological.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and ironically, you had just written a two-part, article, for some newspapers, addressing just this subject. I thought we had to get you on the show, to talk about this because it is important. Men need to understand that, number one, it's not a death sentence, number one. And number two, there are clearly defined issues that need to be addressed. So let's start with the physiological first of all, because in my experience, one bout of physiological ED can live up to years of psychological ED. Would you agree with that statement?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, we men are strange creatures, and, you know, and as a man, we all have insights into our own foibles, and we are our own worst enemies when it comes to health issues. One of the main reasons is because we don't talk about them. You know, you put a room full of women together, and goodness gracious, by the end of the evening of their talking, they know everything about one another. I mean, they just know their complete health history, what their sex life is with their husbands, and on and on and on. You put a group of guys together, and they know all the stats that have happened in the NCAA tournament or whatever, but nobody would dare mention that they ever venture out of the house without the big cape on with the S on it, because that's who we are. We're all Superman, and we never have anything wrong. And so, you know, we experience these things, and you just made an excellent point that if ED is rearing its head, and we experience it, then the psychological impact is multiplied many times over because we don't talk about it. It stays inside our head. It ruminates in there, and it circles around and around, recycling over and over again until it becomes a psychological problem. And so, you know, one of the biggest things we can do is what we're doing right now is just getting it out there and talking about it and say, hey, you know what, if you're experiencing this, boy, you ain't alone. It's very, very, very prevalent, particularly in our society. And I think maybe one of the most important things we can do, Carl, ultimately, is as we kick this around, is make sure that folks begin to understand that ED in and of itself is not a separate, isolated thing.
Bingo.
That to me is probably the most important message that I try to get out there, that if you're experiencing ED, you know, you shouldn't stop there worrying about, gee, this is going to impact my sexual function. No. What ought to be going off in your head is like a cannon. Great big red flag that say, oh, wait a minute, if this is going on here in this location, what might be going on in lots of other locations that are a whole lot more serious than not being able to perform?
Right, life-threatening. Now, I want to go one step further, and I want to also I want to shed the light on my personal circumstances mm-hmm. with ED, because I have a lot of athletes who listen to this show.
Mm-hmm.
There's a misassumption that the more androgens you use, the higher your libido is, and thus the more of a stallion you become. And that is true early on when you start to dabble with performance-enhancing drugs. There are a lot of athletes out there who are using high amounts of anabolic steroids who suffer from ED. And it's and again, this is the hormonal aspect. In my case, I was using very high doses of testosterone along with very high doses of decadurabolin. Mm-hmm. And these two androgens combined have a history of potentially causing ED. In fact, there's a term inside the bodybuilding community called DECA, and the last word starts with a D, and I'm not going to say it because this is a family mm-hmm. show, mm-hmm. because of the ED effects of DECA. But here's the challenge. Once you have a failure to launch episode, you become anxiety ridden about every other sexual opportunity that's going to come up, and it immediately fills your head like, oh my God, even though I knew that once these things were corrected that the problem would go away, you still panic. That panic is a self-fulfilling prophecy.
No question. I mean, absolutely no question. And you know, I think a perfect example is the movie with Robert De Niro, in which he's seeing the psychiatrist.
With Billy Crystal.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And there's a scene in there in which De Niro, of course, is the mafia boss, and he reveals to Billy Crystal that lately he has had a time or two where he hasn't been able to perform.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, and they start talking about it, and it becomes clear that there's more than just a time or two, and what is also clear is that these panic attacks and this whole psychological overdrive that Paul Beatty is in is what's behind it. And of course, Billy Crystal tries to get around to what's really pushing that, and it makes the point very, very well. Once it becomes the monster in your head that says, "I'm just sitting here waiting for you." And the whole erection thing is so fragilely based that you can destroy it, you know, whether or not there's a physiologic reason for not. A lot of times the psychological reasons can be just so much more powerful.
Yes.
And then of course the worst part of it is when they are combined, when there really is a physiologic reason that you're never sure of, because sometimes the physiology of it can be tricky. Sometimes depending upon really what's driving the bus. If it's hormonal, it can be tricky. If it's simply atherosclerotic in origin with regard to you know, a blood flow issue or a lack of blood flow issue that's because of clogging arteries,
that could be
then
serious.
That becomes much more consistent. So
it's
a very complicated kind of thing that, you know, again, we men need to be talking about.
Okay, look, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick this up. We're going to talk about some of the physiological aspects of ED. Dr. Stanford has already touched on one when he discusses arteriosclerosis. Also, the preponderance of insulin resistance. We're going to talk about the link between insulin resistance and ED. You're listening to Superhuman Radio, and you're listening because you're smart. So stay tuned. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Finally, a Bulbine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bulbine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bulbine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour is Bryant Stanford. We're talking about erectile dysfunction. That's right. I said the words. And we're discussing not only the symptomology, but also what can be done about it. Okay. You mentioned a very, very important factor. If you're having ED, there could be other more important life critical things going on in the body. So it's not just a matter of being a man and being able to maintain an erection, is it?
Yeah, and I think what you had alluded to earlier, Carl, if we kind of create two baskets here, one being kind of the hormonally driven one versus the other one that would be much, much more prevalent in our society, I think. The hormonal one may have to do with, some of the testosterone-driven, kind of drugs that folks take. And as you had indicated, you know, early on, there's this turbocharged kind of sense,
right,
that the Superman kind of thing, and both, you know, muscle building wise and also sexual performance wise. But what we have to stop and realize is that the body is really structured for survival, and part of survival has to do with how efficient the body is in every category. And so once the body begins to have an understanding that there's going to be a different source for something, whatever that source is, then the body automatically goes into a mode of saying, I don't need to produce that anymore. I can go in an entirely different direction. And so it makes sense that there would be this sort of peak and valley kind of thing, you know, regardless of what the variable is we're talking about. When we add it to the body initially, we get an additive effect. But after a while, it comes back to baseline, and then it dips rather far below baseline once that additive effect is removed.
Well,
and so,
Dr. Mark Gordon and I spoke about this off the air. He's a keynote speaker for A4M. And what he explained to me is this: superphysiological doses of testosterone may exhibit an increase in libido temporarily, but what ends up happening, and what you spoke to, the body starts to become protective. One of the challenges with superphysiological doses of testosterone is the conversion to DHT in the brain, not in serum. The conversion to DHT in the brain, which is what affects libido the most, and combine that with an exaggerated stimulation of the sympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system is the side that gets us hyped up, right?
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Yes.
And so the way he explained it was, when you use superphysiological doses of testosterone, even though you're in the sky range of testosterone, it does not guarantee that you're going to have a superphysiological level of libido. And many men do have erectile dysfunction when they have those high levels because of what I just spoke of. So, and the other thing to keep in mind is, when we talk about hormones, is it's not all about testosterone. Estradiol, dopamine, serotonin, they all have a delicate balancing act in not only increasing causing libido to occur, but maintaining an erection through the whole process. If any one of those gets out of whack, which they are, if you have sky high levels of testosterone, but dopamine levels and serotonin levels are where they normally belong, you have ratio issues that could precipitate ED and or a lack of libido. So
absolutely, and then there's the shorter term implications of that versus the much longer term implications,
right,
too. So if we morph over then to these long term implications and set aside this hormonal imbalances that we're talking about, the more pervasive issue for society in general is that, starting early in life, and we don't know how early, but it could be very shortly after birth, the arteries begin to clog up with cholesterol. Now, that's true for the American society. It's not true for third world countries. It's not true for plant-based diet folks and all of that. But if we plug a newborn into the American lifestyle, what we know is that if that newborn follows faithfully through with the American lifestyle, the double bacon cheeseburgers, the fries, the Cokes, and all
right,
the rest of it, sedentary living, that the atherosclerotic process starts very early in life, and the autopsy studies done on soldiers killed in Korea and then later on in Vietnam demonstrated atherosclerosis, clogging of the arteries, and 75% of the autopsies done of 21-year-old soldiers, and in one in four of those, the clogging was considered to be advanced. Now, we tend to think of atherosclerosis, the clogging process, as something that is associated with old age, and it is associated with old age because it's a cumulative process. So old age is relative. How much effort, you just have to ask each individual, and I do this all the time, how much effort are you putting into clogging your arteries?
Huh.
And if you put a lot of effort into it, and of course, we set aside genetic predisposition here because some people are more disposed than others, but let's deal with a level playing field, and we say that the predisposition is the same across the playing field. Now, the question, how much effort are you putting into clogging your arteries? And if the answer to that is, I'm putting a heck of a lot of effort into it, then what we're seeing is heart attacks now in men in their 30s that in the past were considered very rare and happened about 10 to 12 years later in their 40s. And if we continue to see this trend, particularly with the proliferation of type 2 diabetes in young people.
Bingo.
If we continue to see this trend, my prediction, and I don't think I'll be around to see this, but my prediction is in the many decades to come, it is not going to be a rarity to see heart attacks with people in their 20s.
You don't have to wait that long, Dr. Stanford. We're already seeing strokes.
Right.
The level of stroke occurrences in teenagers is at an alarming rate right now.
And I think that's kind of, in many ways, blood pressure driven. And of course, that's going to be the huge risk factor for stroke. It's also a risk factor for atherosclerosis and heart disease.
I have to say, and I would, you know, my audience would expect me to say this, that this has a lot more to do with the, insulin-resistant nation as a result. And I want to talk about atherosclerosis, but you just invoked the term diabetes a moment ago, and I want to touch on that. You know, the majority of the nation is either diabetic or pre-diabetic at this point in time if they eat the way you depicted. If they eat I'm just going to say crap food, let's just leave it there, okay? And so when you're insulin resistant and when insulin levels are raging, a hormone produced in the kidneys called angiotensin converting enzyme, which the sole job of ACE is to shut down peripheral blood flow so that the organs have all the blood they need to run away from dinosaurs. And when you have elevated levels of insulin in your body, you have elevated levels of ACE, and ACE is kind of like, think of your garden hose. Now think of you parking your car on your garden hose and then turning the water on. Does anything come out of the spigot? No. Because ACE is like the tire shutting off with south of that garden hose. ACE does that to the body. So when you talk about the preponderance of vascular issues in this nation today, which is at an alarming rate, it isn't all about sludge in the arteries and veins. Sometimes it's this arteries and veins are being shut down as a natural response to the body hormonal levels. What would you say to that statement?
Well, first of all, the whole issue of the metabolic syndrome, a.k.a. prediabetes, is projected to right now be impacting probably more than a third of the adult population. Mm-hmm. That doesn't include the 24 million diabetics, of which there are 6 million right now out there who are undiagnosed. And so we have about 35% of the population could be diagnosed in this pre-diabetic condition, and you're exactly right. If we follow through the cascade of what's happening there, probably the etiology is not just the diet, but that's probably what's driving the bus. The etiology is really tied to the excess visceral abdominal fat, the abdominal fat that is stored deeply under the muscle, which is the way men tend to store body fat, and postmenopausal women. So the etiology tends to be this excess of abdominal fat stored deeply around the organs, which then tends to make the body less sensitive to the effects of insulin. So insulin resistance, which is where we're headed with this. So we promote insulin resistance. And then we get two ball games going. This is really where the bad stuff starts. The first ball game is just simply insulin resistance, and extreme insulin resistance is then type 2 diabetes. So that's ball game number one. Ball game number two is the way the body is automatically programmed to cope with an emergency. The emergency is, if I'm insulin resistant, then when my pancreas gland secretes insulin and it goes about trying to do its business around the body is resisting its effects, and so it's a natural thing for the body to say, I guess I better produce and secrete more insulin. And so ball game number two is increased insulin in the system. So now we become hyperinsulinemic. And so we are resistant to the effects of insulin. Ball game number one creates its own set of problems. Now, the one you were just alluding to is when I'm hyperinsulinemic, it creates a whole cascade of problems, including the hormonal kind of shifts. And so we're getting this pervasive vasoconstriction. We're also getting the retention of sodium, which has a tendency to increase fluid volume and blood volume. That's a real nasty combination there in terms of increasing blood pressure. But then there's that third component of also proliferating the muscle mass in the arteries. And you'd say, well, gee, that sounds like a good thing. No, because when you do that, you tend to thicken that medial wall. And as it thickens, it tends to thicken and impinge on the opening. In other words, if it thickens, it's not thickening outward, it's thickening inward.
Right.
And so you put that all together, and geez, we've got arteries, we're promoting with our diets, the clogging with cholesterol, and we are playing around with the arteries, constricting them, and then we're proliferating the muscle there, and we're making the lumen or the opening smaller. It's like, okay, disaster number one, disaster number two, disaster number three. And what is causing this? The American lifestyle. I mean, this is, you know, when we were talking about a moment ago, what kind of effort are you putting into clogging your arteries? You know, all you have to do is sit down with somebody for a moment with a clipboard and say, do you do A, B, C, D, E? And if they're a typical American, yes. Yeah, of course I love double bacon cheeseburgers. Of course I love fries. Of course I love soft drinks. Of course I don't exercise. I'm too busy. Of course I'm under high stress. Well, bing, 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 bing,
right.
Bing. Okay, congratulations. You win.
All right, so here's what we want to do. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to get back on the topic of the effects of the things we just discussed on ED.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to maybe kind of segue into the psychological aspect of ED and what's actually going on in the body when a man freaks out and the prophecy comes true. We're talking today with Dr. Bryant Stanford, syndicated columnist, about erectile dysfunction. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5388. And mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Shut.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I like to call this portion of the show Failure to Launch. Any man who's ever had or experienced even intermittent erectile issues knows the panic that comes over you when you start thinking about sex. Something that you never thought about when you were a teenager. My God, in your 20s and 30s, sometimes it was embarrassing. You couldn't keep your erections away. And now all of a sudden you're worried that you can't get one, and that kind of precipitates a problem. Let's first finish up where we were, Dr. Stanford. Insulin resistance, vascular issues, atherosclerosis, vascular issues, they come back to affecting the penis because the penis basically is made up of, a lot of things, but what we're talking about today is the corpora cavernosa, the cavernosa artery, and also what is known as the spongy body, which basically is a network of intricate vasculature, correct?
Yeah, it's a reservoir. And if we want to create an erection, all we do is we pump a bunch of blood into it. And so if things are working well, then it's like the spigot kind of phenomenon you were talking about early on. We just open up the spigot, blood pours into the area, and of course it's a limited area, and we pack a lot of blood in it, and so it gets very, very hard, very compacted in there, and we have an erection. And it lasts as long as the flow is there, and it's trapped in there, and then it runs its course, and then the blood flow just moves back out, and the erection is gone. So under normal circumstances, it's a very elegant, easily managed kind of thing, and until complications occur.
Right, right. And when we talk about complications, we're really saying that basically two things can occur: either blood can't get in, or the valve that limits blood from getting back out are being compromised. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, there are delicate balances going on any way you cut it. And if we set aside the physiological for the moment, because that's what we've been talking about, if the vessels that feed into the erection are crafted identical to the vessels that feed the heart and feed the brain. I mean, all the arteries in the body and the small arteries in the body are crafted in exactly the same way, mm-hmm. which means they are vulnerable in exactly the same way to clogging. And so, just as an aside, I had mentioned this in those newspaper columns that I wrote. I had a friend years ago, a cardiologist, who would go out and enjoyed making talks to groups. And, of course, he wanted to talk about atherosclerosis and heart disease. And he noticed when he was talking about atherosclerosis and heart disease to women, they were very interested in that topic. When he was talking to men, they tended to roll their eyes, lean back in their chair, and wonder, what does this have to do with me? Typical male
right.
Denial stuff.
Right.
So he shifted gears and said, you know what? I'm going to go in, when I address men, I'm going to go in and talk about erectile dysfunction. And now the guys are sitting on the edge of their seats saying, man, I want to know about this.
Yeah, I don't care about the heart attack.
Yeah, that's got nothing to do with me, but if I can't get an erection, that's important.
So funny. He
would talk about erectile dysfunction, and he would talk about the clogging of the critical arteries and all the rest of it, and then he would segue into, and guess what? Guess what's going on in your heart? Guess what's going on in your brain? So he picked a new starting point that captured the attention of the males. But, in terms of this intricacy of the blood flow moving in and out and having a bad experience and having a blow up in your head. When I think about things, Carl, I always try to get back to the simplest platform. And the simplest platform for me is always to try to think in terms of what does the wisdom of the body dictate? And so if you think about it from that perspective, the wisdom of the body says survival is most important. So if we go all the way back to our earlier days when there were nasty monsters out there who were looking at us like we would make a good lunch.
Huh.
And so I stumble across one and he's sitting there looking at me. And what I realize immediately is I'm going to have to either fight this monster or run faster than this monster to get away from
it. Right.
Either way, I have got to maximize the blood flow to the muscles that I'm going to be using to either fight or flee.
Right.
So it becomes a blood flow issue. The very last thing in the world I would want under those circumstances would be an erection. I do not want blood flow going to an area that's not going to do me any good under those circumstances.
Right.
Okay? So,
right.
So on the one hand, when we think about all these delicate balances, the same mechanisms that can work for you to promote the blood flow from a neurological perspective can work against you. And so if we put these issues together, and if I've had a bad experience and I blow it up in my mind, in some ways, when I rethink that, I'm seeing the monster out there that's seeing me as lunch. And so when I try to have an erection, I have this fear factor, and the fear factor always, no matter what is causing the fear, the response to the fear is always identical. So if the fear is, I'm not going to be able to get an erection, that's exactly the same fear, that the same physiologic response to fear as you would have, that monster is going to eat me. So once it happens, you can make it a self-fulfilling prophecy, and what you can do every time you approach that situation is you can create fear. The fear is going to feed into your survival mode. Your survival mode is going to say, hey, the last thing we want is blood flow going into an area that you can't use to fight or flee. And so the last thing that you're ever going to have is an erection under those circumstances.
Right. And that is exactly what happens to men. Now, if you have a legitimate ED issue, one of the things that you can help utilize to determine this is nocturnal tumescent erections, correct?
Mm-hmm.
If men have erections at night, and I had a doctor on 5 or 6 years ago, we talked about this, and basically, since our whole purpose is offspring, you know, we're supposed to survive long enough to have offspring, but we don't necessarily have sex every day. The body basically runs the penis through a series of drills at night, kind of like a fire drill, to make sure that it's going to work when we need it to. And because of the cascade of hormones that occur at night, it's optimal to occur. And basically the body produces erections in the middle of the night as a way of exercising the penis. I mean, this is really what it comes down to. If you're not having those, then your ED could very well be physiological and a serious issue. Look at this as a sign to try to get your life straightened out, because if you're penis is having trouble, your heart is having trouble too.
Yep, everywhere in your system. It's the same, you know, a perfect analogy, I think, is intermittent claudication, in which if you're walking along and you begin to get severe pain in your calves, you know, that's not a calf problem per se. What it is you are having a problem with doing muscular contractions with clogged arteries that can't feed enough oxygen to those muscles. They are in pain because they're not getting enough oxygen, in the same way you get chest pain when your heart is not getting enough oxygen. And then what you find is, if I'm walking along and my calves are hurting and I stop, the pain goes away. Why does it go away? Because you're no longer doing the muscular contractions and the blood flows in to be able to handle the muscle at rest, which doesn't have much metabolic activity going on. And so the worst thing you can think of, and I confront this all the time, is somebody with intermittent claudication assumes that's the problem. Oh, I've got a calf problem, and all I have to do is sit down and rest, and it's okay, without making the linkage that says, boy, if the arteries that feed my calf muscles are in that better shape, what's going on with the arteries that feed my brain or my heart? And it's exactly the same thing here with erectile dysfunction. If the arteries that feed into the erection are dysfunctional for physiologic atherosclerotic reasons, guess what? It's going on all over the body and all of the other arteries, and it's just a matter of time before disaster strikes. The only question is, where will it strike first?
Right, right. And obviously, coming full circle, the heart and the brain are much more important at the end of the day than the penis. Because you can live without sex. It may be miserable, but you can't live without a functioning brain, and you can't live without a functioning heart.
Unless you're a politician, you know, then you can get by without either one of those.
But, oh my goodness!
That's,
you know,
a different issue.
I happen to know that you heard the intro right before the intro. We have to take a last commercial break. When we come back, I want to finish up the interview and we'll have some fun at the same time. We're talking with syndicated columnist Dr. Bryant Stanford about erectile dysfunction, and we're going to go over some brief list of things that you can do to check to see if your ED is actually physiological, and if not, what you can do to help overcome the psychological side. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour, Dr. Brian Stanford. We've been talking about erectile dysfunction, the different types. Let's talk about something real quick. Dr. Stanford, there's a way for men to test. Obviously, if you're not awake, you don't know if you're having nighttime erections. Obviously, if you're waking up with them in the morning, you know. But what can men do if they want to test for nocturnal tumescent activity?
Well, you could hire somebody to watch you, but that gets expensive.
Yeah, there you go. That might actually be a fun thing.
Yeah, hire depending on who you hire.
I'm sure they have a category on Craigslist for that one somewhere.
Yeah. The other one is, you know, as we were talking about off the air, the whole issue of what can you do to sort of document a change in diameter. Obviously, if you don't have an erection, the diameter is X. The diameter with an erection is at least 2X. So the one of the tricks is the stamp thing, where you simply wrap the penis with stamps. And, of course, the stamps can be easily torn apart if there's pressure put on them, and so you wrap the penis and you maybe put a little bit of scotch tape on there or something just to hold it in place, and in one portion, and then you go to sleep. And lo and behold, you wake up in the morning. If the stamps have been dislodged, that the suggestion would be that you had an erection during the night and you didn't wake up with it. That's fine, so you wouldn't have known you had one. But the fact that the diameter of the penis increased remarkably simply put pressure on the stamps, tore them apart, and you have an answer.
Right. Now, one of the problems with this, and I thought about it during the commercial break, is it's very hard to get a roll of stamps with perforations. Now they sell the self-adhesive stamps on a book, so you'd have to use, you could even use a piece of paper if you have a way of perforating it at least somewhere. But the idea is that if the penis becomes engorged with blood, the weak area of the paper, the perforated area, would tear, and you would know this. So that's obviously not the best way to find out. I think hiring someone to watch it is probably more effective. But with that being said, let's talk about this. If you determine that you are having some problems with erections and they are psychological, the first thing I would say to you is try meditation. If you can learn to meditate and then invoke your mantra before you are going to make love to your significant other to at least reduce the inrush of what's the word I'm looking for? Anxiety hormones into the body. This could be very, very effective, number one.
I think that's a great idea, and I would follow it up with step number two. I think the meditation as a relaxation device is important. But one thing that's consistently swept under the rug as seeming to be bogus are really, really effective affirmations. The problem with affirmations is, we hear Saturday Night Live skits on TV, somebody stands in front of the mirror and says, and you know, they look like the werewolf,
yeah.
and they're standing there saying, I am good looking,
yeah.
and of
yeah,
course
yeah.
it's not working.
Yeah.
But affirmations, if you stop to think about the wisdom of the body, and what you're doing with an affirmation is trying to undo what you've done. In other words, if you are experiencing anxiety when you are about to perform, that is your subconscious mind talking to you and saying, you can't do this. What affirmations do, if you really get into doing them in a meaningful, sincere way, they communicate directly with your subconscious mind. And if you deal with your subconscious mind, you want it to have a new message. And that new message is, I will perform. I will perform well, but you have to believe it, and you have to do it consistently every day, and you have to affirm and talk to that subconscious mind and make it believe that it's going to happen, along with the meditation and being relaxed just, you know, prior to the moment and all that sort of stuff. It's all important, but I think affirmations are another step too.
And you know what one of the most profound ways of performing an affirmation in motion, I like to call it, or in emotion, is smiling. I learned this from Dr. Clifford Kuhn. You know what? The smile, and we've all heard this. You can't be happy without smiling, and you can't smile without being happy. You can't cry if you're smiling. If you smile, you can actually, or laugh. I remember when I was at my sickest in back in 1998, I started to experience, along with everything else that was going wrong with my body, panic attacks. I remember I was driving to Versailles, Kentucky to meet a client, and all of a sudden I realized my cell phone was out of range and I was in the middle of nowhere. And keep in mind, I never had this thought before, but all of a sudden I thought to myself, what if I had a heart attack out here? And this, the thought of that gave me a panic attack. And I started to think, oh, my God, I started sweating. My heart started pounding. I thought, what if something happens? I would die out here. I'd never make it to an emergency room. I wouldn't even know how to find an emergency room. My cell phone doesn't work. And I actually gave myself a panic attack. But you know how I broke it? When I looked into the mirror and saw the panic on my face, I started to laugh, almost like a hysterical laugh.
Uh-huh.
And I started to yell. I yelled in my car. I don't remember if I was shouting, yeah, or whatever. And I started laughing even more, and it passed.
Yep.
So, you know, affirmations really can change your physiology, and especially affirmations in emotion. And smiling is a profound one. If you smile, if you make sure that your lips are turned up, you can't help but activate that part of the brain that is connected to happiness. And if you're happy, you're not running from a dinosaur, things can work.
It's good stuff. And I know Cliff, and that's been his thing for a long time, and there's a lot to that. There's a I practice it all the time. I mean, I'm a real advocate of that, and a real disciple of Cliff's in terms of just smiling at people.
Yeah.
It's amazing the responses you get.
Yes.
But what I like to do is I like to smile and combine it with thank you for all the little things. Thank you. I'm so blessed. Thank you.
Right. The last thing I want to mention is enzymatic cascades. There is another type of erectile dysfunction that has to do with the little valve at the back of the penis that keeps the blood from rushing back out after it's filled up. And we know that phosphodiesterase type 5, which is the target of many of these pharmaceutical drugs that are designed to help men with their erections. Again, this is assuming that you don't have arteriosclerosis, you don't have some chronic illness that precludes you from even engaging in sex. Enzymatic cascades are the last frontier in the anti-aging mecca right now. And so we are starting to really understand the significance and the symbiotic relationship between enzymes. Anything that can increase production of healthy bodily enzymes, whether that be taking systemic enzymes, whether that be sitting in hot saunas, which have been shown to upregulate enzymatic cascades dramatically, or whether that is eating lots of raw foods, lots of raw vegetables. When you don't cook vegetables, you get the enzymes that are trapped in there. They're not denatured. They're not killed. There's a lot of evidence that focusing on the enzymatic cascades can not only help you if you are having ED issues, but can help you have much harder erections if you're not.
Yeah, and I think it points really directly at the complexity of the area. I mean, it's a small area. Not for some guys. We like to think it's bigger, but it's a small area, and basically, the complexity of it is profound, and I think comparable to what when we think about the complexity of the brain with all the interactions. But the enzymes and what we get to ultimately is the interactive effects of how a deficiency here spills over and impacts A, and A impacts B, and B impacts C. Something as small as since we're talking about in many cases athletes who are training. Something as small as a lower back injury, for example, how would you correlate a lower back injury to erectile dysfunction? But something as seemingly innocuous as a strained lower back could impact some of the tiny nerve branches that ultimately feed those areas. So, again, when we begin to put all the pieces together, there are so many things that can be operating here that our challenge as males is to do our best to try to figure out what are the ones that are likely to be operating. Is it a lack of blood flow? Is it a hormonal problem? Is it potentially an injury and referred from somewhere else, enzymatic, what have you? Our challenge is, goodness gracious, what can we do to kind of factor out what's really causing this and then attack that?
Right. That's great. It's a great ending to the show right there. Now, when we were off the air, you mentioned that you were listening in at my rant about politicians and truth in advertising laws, and you said you had a great idea. I said that we should be allowed to apply truth in advertising laws to the statements and promises made by our political candidates, should they not fulfill those promises while they were in office. And you had a brilliant idea.
I'd like to put some teeth into it, and I think we ought to attach it to the death penalty to really motivate our politicians. Wouldn't it be wonderful or incredible if our politicians really did stand up and tell us the truth? I mean, I know, like Jack Nicholson's movie, they all think we can't handle the truth, but I think we really can, and we'd love to, at least once in a while.
I like that. So not only should we enact truth in advertising laws to govern political campaigns, but we should also take the offenders and put them to death.
That's right. Boil in oil, or at least threaten them to that extent. And all we'd have to do is boil a couple of them, and the rest of them would get the message, and then maybe we might change things.
Yeah, I like that idea entirely. Listen, Dr. Stanford, I know that you're a busy guy, and you're always traveling, and I want to thank you so much for taking time to come on Superhuman Radio today and talk about this. This really is an important subject for men.
I enjoyed it, Carl, as always.
Okay, thank you so much. And sure, I also want to thank Dr. Peter Rouse for coming on and doing the second installment on epigenetics, genetic science that we discussed today. We have two more installments on this show you can turn to next week. on Thursday, we'll be doing installment number 3 on the epigenetics seminar. So tune in then. And tomorrow we have Casual Friday with my lovely and talented co-host, Elisa Profumo. We've got some great stuff for you. And we're going to be recognizing a couple more super fans. You're not going to want to miss that. So tune in tomorrow.